A wire mobile in the shape of two speech bubbles turns. Letters hang within the mobile. Path A. The mobile casts a shadow of a cockerel. UK Film Council awarding funds from the National Lottery. Shiny silver letters curve into place. Celador Films. A mist hangs over an ancient map of Europe. 117 AD. The Roman Empire stretched from the African desert to the Caspian Sea, but its farthest, most untamed frontier was northern Britain. In this unforgiving land, the Roman army encountered fierce resistance from a people known as the Picts. Using guerrilla tactics and the landscape to their advantage, they brought the invasion to a halt. The stalemate has lasted almost 20 years. Now Rome has given orders to end the deadlock by any means necessary. A pale sky hangs over a vast snow-covered plateau. Pathé Productions presents, in association with the UK Film Council, in association with Warner Brothers, with the participation of Canal Plus and Cine Cinema. A Celador Films production, a film by Neil Marshall. Michael Fassbender, Dominic West, and Olga Kurylenko. The plateau drops away, revealing a mountain range. Centurion. The dark, craggy mountainsides are dappled with snow. Down below, a wide river meanders through the landscape. Winter sun casts a mirror-like sheen on the water. Noel Clarke, Liam Cunningham, David Morrissey, Riz Ahmed, J.J. Field, Dimitri Leonidas, Imogen Poots, Lee Ross, Paul Freeman, Dave Legeno, Rachel Sterling, and Ulrich Thompson. Casting by Debbie McWilliams. Costume designer Keith Madden. Makeup and hair design Tahira Herald. Special makeup effects designer Paul Hyatt. Music by Eilan Eshkeri. Line producer Andy Stebbing. Production designer Simon Bowles. Editor Chris Gill. Director of photography Sam McCurdy, BSc. Executive producers Francois Ivanel, Cameron McCracken, Paul Smith. Produced by Christian Colson, Robert Jones. Written and directed by Neil Marshall. The gracefully undulating whiteness of the landscape is interrupted by a lone running figure. A muscular young man wearing boots and trousers but no top stumbles desperately across the snow. His wrists are bound together. He has a deep, bloody gash across his chest and his face is pale and gaunt. His legs buckle and he collapses onto the snow.
My name is Quintus Dius. I am a soldier of Rome. And this is neither the beginning nor the end of my story.
2 weeks earlier, Inchtooth Ill, most northerly garrison on the frontier. Mounted Roman soldiers ride through the entrance and away from the high wooden walls of the fortress. Quintus stands in a watchtower looking out.
2 years on the frontier. This place is the asshole of the world. Even the land wants us dead.
Another soldier, Gratus, walks up.
Centurion Dius. It's too damn cold to be standing watch.
It's not my watch. I'm just wondering what's out there.
The patrol returns at dawn. You should get some sleep.
The longer we stay, the deeper the cold and damp soaks into our bones, and the rain makes way only for the stinging bite of the north wind. While we lose brave men to foot rot and frostbite, the Pict King Gorlicon sends his war parties to raid along the frontier at will.
Gentlemen, cold night in the front?
He passes tents.
My father believed that to truly defeat an enemy, you must know him better than yourself. I know this enemy well. They play only to their strength and will not be drawn into open combat. Instead, they pick at the scab until we bleed, hiding in the shadows like animals, striking hard and fast, and falling back into the night. Come the dawn, we count our losses and sow the earth with our dead.
Braziers burn along a palisade.
This is a new kind of war. A war without honor, without end.
Standing on the walkway at the top of the palisade, a soldier urinates over the side. A Pict runs up below and rams a spear into the Roman's groin. Two guards are shot with arrows. Quintus wakes as Picts storm the fortress. A Roman gets a flaming arrow in the back of the head.
Marcus, right, Agricola!
A Pict batters a Roman. Marcus rides off, a Pict shoots a flaming arrow. The camp is in chaos. A Pict swings an axe at Quintus and he dispatches him with his sword. By the rows of tents, Quintus takes another man down and another, blood sprays freely. Quintus finds Gratus injured on the palisade.
Gratus, save yourself.
A Pict general leaps over to Quintus and attacks with an axe. Quintus dodges the blows. The general hammers Quintus in the face with the handle and shoves him down onto a tent. The general jumps down and Quintus barks, "Go to hell."
Here I found a horse.
The general throws down his axe and lifts Quintus up. A Pict woman, Aeron, walks over and says, "We should kill them all." The general replies, "This one could be useful. He comes with us." He headbutts Quintus. York, garrison of the 9th Legion. In a packed tavern, two muscular men, a mercenary and a soldier, Virilus, sit facing each other, their hands grasped in an arm wrestling match. Virilus slams the mercenary's arm onto the table. He stands and punches the air. Virilus collects some coins from the table and the mercenary glares at him.
A gun!
Virilus pats the man's cheek.
Enough! You put up a good fight. Now you drink with me. Septa's more ale.
He puts a cup of ale by the man, who swipes it away.
A gun, Virilus!
You're a drunk. An ugly drunk.
The mercenary stabs a big dagger into the table.
And not too bright.
Virilus frowns.
Isn't 10 times enough to know when you're beaten?
Damn you! A gun!
Once more.
Virilus sits facing the mercenary.
Septus, you're ruling. And watch my flank.
They plant their elbows on the table and grasp each other's hands. The two men grimace as they wrestle. Virilus forces the man's arm over and wins. The mercenary looks at the dagger. Virilus grabs it, stabs the man's wrist, and slams his head onto the table. Virilus looks up at the mercenary's supporters.
Sore loser!
The two groups stare at each other.
Septus?
What are you waiting for? An order? Get stuck in!
The two groups attack with fists and feet, and the tavern descends into chaos. Morning, Virilus ducks his head in a trough of water.
Damn, that'll sober a man up quick. When will people learn not to fuck with the 9th?
Septus pulls out a tooth and spits. A messenger rides up to the garrison.
You know, some say it's irregular for you to be seen drinking with the men of the Legion.
Septus, my old friend. They forget I am a man of the Legion.
Virilus drinks and spits. The messenger looks down at him from his horse.
Soldier, have you been fighting?
Fighting is my job.
I have a message for your general. Now point me in his direction before I have you flogged.
Who are you?
I'm the personal envoy of Governor Agricola.
Virilus frowns.
Well, then I suggest you get down off that horse and give me your message before I have you flogged!
General, sir, it will be my pleasure.
The messenger leaps off his horse, kneels with his head bowed, and hands a scroll to Virilus, who reads it.
All leave is cancelled. Agricola's mobilised in the 9th. We're going to war, Septus. Alert the senior legates to break camp and prepare the men.
Sir.
Sorry, General, sir.
Turn to Agricola at once. Tell him we rode out within the hour.
Yes, General.
Against a backdrop of mountains, a small group of Picts ride across scrubby grass. Quintus stumbles along behind, his wrists bound with rope. Night. In a village, Quintus is jostled, kicked, and shoved to his knees. The general holds Quintus in front of a bearded man. Quintus gets a wallop. Aeron says, "Time to die, Roman." The bearded man glares.
Gorlocon. He was a farmer until his wife was killed. Then he put down the plough and took up the sword. He changed the way the Picts fought. It worked. He turned the tide, so they made him king.
Gorlokon urinates in a bucket of water and the general ducks Quintus's head in it. Blood wafts from his mouth. Quintus snarls, "I will not yield." The general punches him. Gorlokon.
What does the Grekala intend for my people?
Damn you, Pict!
When will he send his armies north?
I am a soldier of Rome! I will not yield!
The general shoves Quintus's head underwater. Gorlokon brings a boy over to look at Quintus. He turns to him and says, "Know your enemy, my son."
It's a Navich. Maybe.
Rome will make you bleed for this!
You first, centurion.
The general draws a knife across Quintus's chest, cutting him. The boy turns away, but Gorlokon forces him to watch. Quintus is thrown into a dark cell. He lies on straw, hunched on his side, with his wrists bound. He kicks a wall. Carlisle, headquarters of Julius Agricola, governor of Britain. Agricola stabs a table.
I don't care how you do it, but wipe them out. And bring Gorlokon before me in chains.
Gamli, you're the politician. I'm just a simple soldier. But I'm not so simple that I can't see you're looking for a way back to Rome.
My bones ache for Rome. This place is the graveyard of ambition.
And men. And I won't sacrifice mine to be pawns in your game.
I see. Let us be frank, General. The conquest of Britain is a lost cause. With one bold stroke, we could change all that. With the Ninth Legion at your command, we can crush this enemy. You and your men could retire with wealth and honor.
My men have honor enough.
Enough to disobey a direct order.
Virilus locks eyes with Agricola, then glances away.
Well, to kill the snake, you have to cut off its head. I need to find Gorlokon.
Agricola smiles.
For that, I have someone special in mind.
Agricola leads Virilus to another part of the tent. A thin, balding servant grabs the dagger that Agricola stuck in the table and runs at him with it. A young woman slices the servant's hand off and cuts his throat with a spear.
General Virilus, meet Etain, my brigantine tracker. Can't speak a word, but she can hunt anything, over any terrain. I swear she's part wolf.
I apologize for the theatrics, but I wanted to prove a point. Slaves cost nothing. Trust is priceless.
I don't know whether to fight her or...
She's mute, not deaf.
I have my own scouts.
Not like her. She knows the Picts, knows their ways, knows their hideaways. She will guide you into the mountains.
The beautiful, dark-eyed young woman, Etain, flashes a look at Virilus, who frowns dubiously. A sheer snowy mountainside with exposed patches of dark rock. Quintus runs frantically across the snow, wrists bound and with the bloody cut across his chest. He stumbles to the ground and looks out across the mountains. Quintus gets up and runs on. At their camp, the standards of the Ninth Legion are raised, a hand within a wreath and an eagle. Soldiers are gathered by rows of tents. Horses are saddled. Etain, who wears an animal fur over her tunic, stands in a patch of heather scattering ash. At the camp, Virilus squats down by a dog. A soldier juggles balls. Etain cuts her hand with a dagger. She clenches her hand closed for a moment, then mounts her white horse. The soldiers of the Ninth Legion march and ride along a track away from the camp. A bubbling river courses through a rocky valley. Dark grey clouds hang over the highlands. Forked lightning flashes. The Ninth process through a forest. Night. Fires flicker around a camp. Etain sits alone stroking a dog. She stares at a group of soldiers, Thax, Septus and Bothos.
What's she sitting over there for?
She's been looking at you.
I know she has. I know she has. I've spotted it.
Don't take her eyes off it.
Come on. Come on, you.
She's speechless, you daft bastard. She's got no tongue in her head, you fool. I wouldn't get too close.
No tongue? That's perfect, you know.
We'll go nearer, mate.
Come on. Etain wallops Dax and he collapses.
I think that's picked for fuck off. She must be a good scout if she can find your cock.
I think it's love.
I'll have a go with the mutt this time.
Etain glares at the men. Early morning mist drifts over the forest. Quintus rubs his wrist bindings against the ground. A group of Picts ride towards Quintus, who runs off along a track, teeth gritted. The Picts close in on Quintus with axes raised. Quintus pumps his muscular arms as he tries to keep ahead of the Picts. On a hill above the forest, Etain sits on her horse watching. The foot soldiers of the 9th march. Septus and Etain ride up to Virilis at the head of the column.
Report. 3 Pict riders and another, a prisoner on foot. I think he might be Roman.
Virilis rides ahead. Two soldiers follow Virilis. Quintus runs from the Pict riders, a desperate expression on his face, his arms swinging wildly. Spent, Quintus sinks to his knees in a clearing and the Picts surround him. A Pict with wild hair scraped back from his forehead dismounts and grabs Quintus's hair.
Ave Issacu, de nation cum Romanis, nation a morta.
He holds a knife to Quintus's throat, then looks up to see Virilis, who hacks his head off as he rides by. Septus hammers another Pict into a tree. Dax rides after a third Pict and knocks him down with his sword. The Pict lies twitching. Dax dismounts.
Stay down!
He kicks him. Quintus tries to get his breath back. Virilis wallops another Pict.
We'll get nothing out of him. Well, we can't take prisoners on the march. You know what to do.
Head or ship?
Head?
Dax tosses a coin and shows it to Bothos.
I went. Sorry, mate. Orders are orders. Hey.
Thax slits the Pict's throat and Bothos kicks him over. At the camp, Quintus sits by a tree with a blanket around him. Virilis and Septus walk over.
Thank the gods you found me.
Not the gods you should thank. It's her.
Etain, our Pict scout. She found you.
What's your name, soldier?
I'm Quintus Dives, second in command, Inch Toothill Frontier Garrison.
Virilis glances at Septus.
Oh, sorry we couldn't get here sooner.
Are you the relief column?
Not quite.
I'm Titus Flavius Virilis, commander of the 9th Legion. Come here looking for a fight.
And you'll get one.
Quintus raises his eyebrows. Night. Quintus, now wearing a chainmail tunic, goes to see Virilis in his tent.
General.
Centurion Dias. Ha! Now you look like a Roman. How do you feel?
Cuts and bruises, sir. Nothing that won't heal in time.
Well, sometimes there are scars that cannot be seen. You escaped the clutches of Gorlicon. But I must ask you to return with us into the lion's den.
Best to get back into the fight, General.
Spoken like a soldier.
Gladiator. My father was Scipio Dias.
I saw him win the fight that earned him his freedom. He was magnificent.
Taught me how to fight and to choose my battles.
Virilis puts a cup down.
Come meet the men.
Some of the men are huddled around an animal roasting on a spit over an open fire.
Septus.
Sir.
General.
Give this man a drink. Think he deserves it.
Septus hands a flask to Quintus.
Come and join us, be warm. Or well and drink.
Thank you.
Etain sits nearby.
Tomorrow you ride by my side.
Perhaps you can teach me something about Pict hospitality.
Etain sharpens her knife.
Back, Bothos.
Right.
Sir. Septus, I'll be doing my round.
Evening, General. I can't understand a word of these Picts. Never catch them, fuck.
I've never seen a general so beloved of his men.
Well, in training he is our scholar. At the feast he is our father. In the ranks he is our brother. And in battle he is the god we pray to save our souls.
Where did you read that?
Written on the shithouse wall, sir.
Probably wrote it himself.
He's a ruthless, reckless bastard.
And I'd die for him without hesitation.
Septus looks at Quintus, who nods. The column advance along a rutted highland track past craggy peaks dappled with moss and scrub. Etain rides ahead of the column with her three-pointed spear raised. Virilus leads the riders, followed by armoured foot soldiers. On a hill in the distance, a picked horseman watches the column advance. Grey mist hangs in a valley. The column slowly advances through a shadowy forest of pine trees. Two scouts ride ahead towards thick grey mist. Etain stops and stares at Virilus. She turns and follows the scouts into the mist. Virilus and his small group of riders proceed ahead of the long line of armoured, helmeted foot soldiers. They march in time with spears held aloft towards the seemingly impenetrable grey mist. Sunlight filters through the tall trees, casting a glow on wisps of pale fog. Virilus holds up his hand to halt the column as a tree falls and blocks their path.
It's a trap! Father! Father! Quickly! Kevin! Dismount! Get the horses to the rear! Hey! Quickly!
Soldiers group together.
Steady, boys.
Shield!
They squat behind their shields facing the forest. The shields form a wall in front of them.
Watching!
Mist floats through the trees.
Whatever comes out of that mist, lads, you will hold the line.
Quintus, ride to the rear. Find Centurion Remus, tell him to pull the column back.
Make a hole!
Keep watching!
Yeah!
Get ready!
Watching!
Giant fireballs appear, rolling down the hills on both sides towards the track. The balls, engulfed in golden flames, bear down on the Romans. The fireballs batter their way through the walls of shields, sending Romans flying. More fireballs roll down towards them. The column is thrown into chaos as fireballs surge towards it. Picts run down and the Romans draw their swords. The Picts barge their way into the column and hack at the Roman soldiers with axes and swords. The Romans fight back, but the Picts batter them furiously. Flames from the fireballs burn around the battle. A Pict archer stands at the side, picking off Romans. A Pict slices a Roman's throat. A Pict with antlers either side of his helmet hurls an axe into a Roman's neck. Blood flows as the Picts fight relentlessly, massacring the Romans. Fighting from his horse, Virilus slashes a Pict's face off. Amongst the Picts is Aeron, the female warrior with long blonde hair. She hammers a mighty axe blow down on a Roman. Virilus and his men battle on, relentlessly spearing Picts with their swords. The Pict general throws Septus to the ground and hacks him with his axe. A female Pict holds up a Roman's head. Quintus gallops his horse through the melee, and a Pict roars at him. The Pict knocks Quintus from his horse and he rolls down a leaf-covered slope into a gully. A Roman is slashed in the neck and stumbles down on top of Quintus. Quintus lies on his front, trying to heave himself up. More bodies roll down on top of him. Picts with blue war paint streaked across their faces drag a struggling Virilus from his horse. Up on a hill, Etain and Gorlocon look down at the carnage from their horses. The gully is filled with the bodies of the twisted and slashed Roman dead. A bloody hand reaches up. Bothos clambers over the corpses and pulls Quintus free.
Quintus!
Bothos! You made it!
Yeah. This man saved my life. Brick here.
The general?
No. I've got to move. Can you make it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come.
Quintus, Bothos, and the other man, Brick, clamber up the slope. They slowly walk across the battlefield littered with bodies.
Let's keep moving.
In the chaos of battle, when the ground beneath your feet is a slurry of blood, puke, piss, and the entrails of friends and enemies alike, it's easy to turn to the gods for salvation. But it's soldiers who do the fighting, and soldiers who do the dying, and the gods never get their feet wet.
Bothos, Quintus, and the slightly older, craggy-faced Brick walk up to a ridge. They stand surveying a slope strewn with bodies and small fires.
Thanks. I think the gods, some of us made it.
Only you?
Two more men walk up behind Thax.
Macross, second cohort.
Leonidas, junior scout in Peltas.
Are we all that's left?
We were outsmarted. That's all, time to go home.
We need to find the general's body. He deserves a nobler tomb than this.
The general's still alive.
You sure?
I saw them take him away in chains.
Which way?
North.
Then we follow north.
You want to go after the Picts?
They'll have patrols sweeping these forests for survivors. We might as well slit our own throats here.
The general's alive. It's our duty.
A Pict runs at them. A young man hurls a cleaver into his head.
Where did you come from?
From the kitchens.
Good work, soldier.
The young man pulls the cleaver from the Pict's head.
My name's Tarak. I'm not a soldier. I'm a cook. Not anymore. Scavenge what you can. Food, supplies, weapons. Ditch your armor. They travel light.
Quintus sheathes his sword. Having shed their armor, the group run through the forest wearing brown tunics and breeches. Macross runs ahead of Tarak and Quintus.
Shit! That Macross can move!
He used to be a marathon runner before he joined up.
How do you know that?
We made the food and everything.
Bothos grimaces and pulls an insect from his neck. He squashes it between his fingers and runs on. A group of Picts rides through the forest. Quintus and his small squad of men rise from beneath the covering of leaves and run on. Sunlight filters between the tall trees onto the dark forest floor. The men tramp through long grass and bracken. They reach a river with a dead tree lying across it. The men squat down on the bank and drink.
Cover.
They scramble over to a bank of earth and hide behind it. Quintus peers back down the river. A Roman soldier runs along the river, pursued by Picts on horseback. Aeron shoots an arrow at him. The arrow hits him in the back and he falls dead. Another Roman runs ahead of the Picts. Riding after him, Etain hurls an axe. The axe sticks in his back and he collapses. Etain dismounts and hauls the Roman up by his hair. Quintus closes his eyes and turns away. Etain pulls out the axe and hacks into the man's neck. Quintus and his men wince at the sound. The river runs red with the soldier's blood. Etain hacks the man's head off and lets it drop. Bothos draws his sword and Quintus holds out his hand to restrain him. Attain hears and walks forward, eyes alert. The Pict general rides up to the others. The Romans peer out from cover as the Picts turn to go. Thax turns to Brick.
I knew we should never have trusted that bitch. I know where they've taken the general. Move out!
Quintus runs off and the others follow. The Picts have gone. The squad runs across thick, spongy grass along a narrow valley floor. Mountains rise up sharply on either side. Macross bears left and clambers up dark, craggy rocks. He looks back and gestures for the others to follow.
This way. Cave.
Get up there, Macross. Get up.
Shafts of light pour down into a cave. The men climb in. Later, they sit around a fire. Bothos unwraps some mushrooms.
Here, some food.
Tarak snatches them away.
No. Death caps. They can kill you in minutes. To the untrained eye, they look similar to these, which are delicious.
Thanks.
The men eat the good mushrooms. Firelight flickers across their weather-beaten faces. Quintus looks at Tarak.
Tarak. It's a Syrian, right?
Yes. But it's not my real name. It was given to me.
What's your real name?
I doubt you could pronounce it. It's from the mountains of the Hindu Kush, where I was born.
Leonidas, right?
Weak father, sir.
Move closer to the fire.
Leonidas moves closer to the fire.
Where are you from, Bothos?
I'm from the army. It's all I've ever known. They picked me up from the street, trained me, told me I could better myself.
Tell me, Bothos, do you feel better or worse?
Macross.
I escaped with my life by running from Numidia. Didn't stop until I reached Greece. Then I ran for sport. Now I'm running for my life again.
We're all a long way from home. This was supposed to be my last tour.
Still could be.
Had my eye on a farm in Tuscany, where the sun warms the skin.
Brick. What kind of name is that anyway?
Short, sir. For Ubriculius.
Your mother must have been wise.
She was a fucking comedian.
Brick it is, then. Get some sleep. I'll stand first watch.
The men lie down and pull blankets around themselves. Day. The Pict village, a cluster of round dwellings with conical straw roofs. Gorlokon walks up to Virilus, who kneels. A Pict has his hand on Virilus's shoulder.
Genoa,
where are my men?
With your gods.
Attain walks up and Virilus glares.
Traitor!
He's held back.
She would answer your charge, but she cannot speak. Do you know why? She was a child when she came to us seeking sanctuary. Our own village had been slaughtered as punishment for resisting Roman rule. To set an example, they burnt out her father's eyes. They raped her mother until she was begging to die. Itan was forced to watch before she too was raped. And finally, they cut out her tongue that she may not speak ill of the bloody Roman Empire.
Virilus spits, Attain punches him and rips his shirt.
She fled north and came to us for shelter. We raised her and made her one of our own. And when she came of age, we sent her back to you to feign allegiance and deliver you into our hands. Thurston.
Gorlokon hands a dagger to his son, who slashes Virilus across the chest. Blood pours from the wound. Attain takes the knife and cuts him deeper. Quintus and his men look down on the Pict village.
The army is still dispersed. When it's dark, we go in.
A torch burns in the night air. Fog hangs low against the ground as a burly Pict sentry patrols by the fringes of a wooded area. Macross springs out from the trees behind him, clamping a hand over the sentry's mouth and slicing his throat with a dagger. Quintus, Brick and Tarak advance through the darkness. Bothos and Thax join them as they pause on their haunches. Quintus scans around, then waves his men forward. They move forth stealthily. Two torches burn aloft a perimeter fence at the entrance of the village. Inside, a strapping, long-haired Pict wanders out of a hut and splashes his face with water from a bucket. As he straightens up, he comes face to face with Quintus, who chops his head off. The Pict's head falls into the pail of water. Brick, Thax, and Macross slip quietly into the village and hunker down in the shadows. They wait for a Pict to pass, before breaking cover to scurry over to the others. Once assembled, they move deeper into the village. The severed heads of four Roman soldiers are displayed on sticks, their faces smeared with blood. Thax, Macross and Brick look on as three picked guards pace back and forth, keeping watch. Quintus and Bothos move up beside Thax, Macross and Brick. Quintus nods to the others and they disperse, quickly setting upon the guards with their knives. A Pict with a spear spins round to see Bothos, whom he bats hard across the mouth. As Bothos lands in a pile of straw, the Pict raises his spear to strike. Leonidas fells the Pict with a rock, and Tarak dispatches him with his cleaver.
God.
The Romans reassemble.
Brick, Bothos with me. Rest of you watch the perimeter.
Brick, Bothos, and Quintus go to Virilis, who's chained to a rock.
Legion. Only myself and a small cohort remain.
A column of Picts gallop past the perimeter fence on horseback. Macross spies them. Bothos and Brick struggle to break the chain tethering Virilis. Thax scrambles over to the main gate and sees the horsemen drawing near. He looks around in panic. The mounted party approaches the main gate as Bothos tries to prise the chain from the rock with a spear. The spear breaks.
Leave me!
As the riders approach, Thax ducks into a hut, coming face to face with Gorlokon's young son. The boy runs. Thax grabs and restrains the boy.
Shut up!
Bothos and Quintus try in vain to unshackle Virilis.
Shit, need an
axe! We will not abandon you, son.
What's left of the Legion is yours to command, not go.
The picked riders sally forth through the main gate. Bothos goes. Quintus works at the chain with his dagger.
Don't go!
Virilis glares at Quintus.
Get them home.
Quintus holds his gaze, then reluctantly flees the scene, leaving bare-chested Virilis with his wrists shackled above his head. Inside the hut, Gorlokon's son lies dead. Thax taps the dead boy's chest and picks up Virilis's distinctive helmet.
That's for the night.
He dusts down the first strip adorning the general's helmet and makes to leave. The others sprint back to the cover of the forest.
Where's Thax?
Thax joins them.
I'll take care of him. Small problem. I've got the general's helmet. Where is it?
We couldn't free him.
Phew.
Come on.
They run off.
Came all this way for nothing.
Thax chases after them. Bothos stares back at the village.
Fuck.
Day. Gorlokon's son lies at rest on an unlit funeral pyre. The sackcloth in which he is wrapped is parted to display his lifeless, ashen face. Gorlokon steps up to the pyre and draws the cloth over his boy's features. A bearded Pict hands Gorlokon a flaming torch, and Gorlokon lights the logs stacked beneath the body. He tosses the torch aside and turns his back as the flames quickly rise to engulf the pyre. The pyre is enclosed by a fence of woven sticks. Gorlokon and the bearded Pict watch as the flames grow tall and violent in the wind. Composed and inscrutable, Gorlokon walks slowly away from the fire. Virilis leans against the rock to which he is shackled, his body smeared with dirt and blood. Gorlokon strolls up to him.
See what you have done? Before you die, know that the men who did this will not live to tell your tale.
Virilis nods.
Well, let's get on with it, then.
Gorlokon turns away and two enormous Picts step forward.
Your Roman friend should have known. Cold iron does not bend. It breaks.
One of the men grabs Virilis as the other one chops the chain in two with an axe. Virilis falls to the ground. The axeman throws a sword down beside Virilis, and the two men back away. Virilis struggles wearily to his hands and knees. He grabs the sword and stumbles back against the rock. He glowers.
But what are you waiting for? Will you fear me? No man brave enough?
Men, women, and children have gathered in a circle to watch. Etain comes forward. Lean, wiry Etain clutches a spear. They glare at each other.
Let's see what you're made of. She-wolf.
She strikes a battle pose, but Virilis knocks her spear aside with his sword. They swing for each other, their weapons clashing as they slug it out. Etain kicks Virilis in the stomach, and he falls back, blocking her spear with his sword. Virilis dodges adroitly as Etain lunges with her spear. She lands a blow, and Virilis falls down on his back. He defends his midriff with the sword and staggers to his feet, only to receive a powerful knee to the face. Etain's upper arm has been sliced. The Pict general flings Virilis down at her feet as she swings her spear at him. Virilis headbutts her and she hits the deck. As he lunges forth on the offensive, she kicks him in the face and he lands in the dirt. He rises clumsily and swings at her, but she blocks his attack and throws him to the ground. Etain picks up her spear and Virilis his sword. He gets up and swings wearily at her, his strength diminishing. She ducks his attacks, then hacks three deep gashes across his torso. Virilis drops to his knees as Etain stands poised with the spear angled at his head. His mouth lolls open and his sad eyes look up at her. She plunges the spear into his heart. Blood spills from his mouth and he looks up to see a cast-iron Roman eagle perched on the legion's standard. The image blurs as the life goes from his eyes and his arms hang limply at his sides. Etain turns and hobbles away as Virilis falls down dead. Quintus and his squad race up a hillside. Etain's scream rings out across the snow-capped mountains, stopping Quintus in his tracks. Quintus hurries on. He and his squad troop over a snow-fringed rise high above the village. Etain and Gorlokon stare down as the flames of a funeral pyre lick at the base of the Roman eagle. The flames roar, obscuring their faces. The squad clambers up a steep snowy incline to a rocky ridge where they sit down to catch their breath. Quintus remains standing.
Come on! We need to keep moving while we have the lead.
On foot over this?
Wherever they may hesitate, we must go. We keep moving. North.
But our lines are to the south.
And that's where they'll be looking for us. Look. We can't outrun them. So we have to outsmart them. We head north. Throw them off our trail. Then double back. West then south. It may take days, even weeks. But we're so far behind enemy lines. It's our only chance of getting home.
Bothos rises from a rock and claps his hands.
Come on!
Bothos sprints off, and one by one the men follow him. Quintus watches as they file past. Thax hands him Virilis's helmet.
You'll be needing this then, Centurion.
Thax gives Quintus a serious look and heads off after the others. Quintus stays behind, clutching the helmet. He looks down at it, then strides over to a small standing stone carved with symbolic decorative designs. He places the shiny steel helmet with its strip of Mohican-like fur beside the stone, then races off after his men. In the village, Etain squats by Virilis' ashes. She scoops handfuls of the white powder from the smouldering remains and collects them in a pouch. Picked warriors wait for her on horseback. She secures the pouch to her white stallion and mounts up.
Etain.
Gorlokon says, Etain, you are my wrath. Send their bodies to hell and bring me their heads. Gorlokon watches as Etain and her fellow Pict warriors ride away on horseback.
Ah,
They gallop forth over a shallow brook. Quintus looks down on them from the hillside.
When the Picts come after you, they never stop. They can run for hours, ride for days. They barely eat and rarely sleep.
Attain leads the riders up a grassy slope and brings the party to a halt.
Attain, like the wolf, has learned to hunt from birth. It is part sense, part instinct. She can read the terrain, search for signs of passing, run her quarry to ground, and close in for the kill. Now she hunts Romans. Now we are the prey.
Attain dismounts, examines the ground, and thoughtfully turns a rock in her hands. A slender waterfall tumbles down a barren, craggy rock face, above and beyond which the fleeing Romans pick their way across a rocky wasteland. The Picts ride by a calm body of water. Quintus and his men race down a snowy slope towards open fields. A brooding mountain range looms on the horizon. A harsh wind stirs a snowy fog from the ground as the men run across the sloping terrain. Quintus runs ahead of the others. Behind him, Leo stumbles and falls. Quintus runs back to him.
Leo! We've got to keep moving!
No! We need to rest! I can't go on, I'm too cold!
Come! Take him!
Bring
him
off! Find shelter! Anywhere out of this wind!
Enough! Help me!
Bothos supports Leo. Macross to Quintus.
He's slowing us down. Just say the word and I'll take care of it.
Quintus glares.
We live united or die divided. Starting with you.
Quintus runs on. Macross turns to Thax.
You can stick this out if you want, but first chance I get, I'm taking care of myself.
It's a funeral.
Thax pats Macross on the chest and trudges off. Macross hangs back for a moment, then continues after them. A gibbous moon hangs in the night sky. Attain stands by a fire with the Picked General and Aeron, who holds a cup. The General pours water into the cup, and Attain adds ash. She takes the cup from Aeron and starts to grind the mixture. Aeron watches as Attain dips a finger into the goo and smears it onto her face. Beginning at her temple, she paints a thin crescent-shaped line along her cheek beneath her right eye.
When they paint their faces in the blue woad, it is more than just a decoration. It is a sacred rite. To the Picts, it means they'd sooner die than fail. It means for them, there is no turning back.
The general daubs two blue lines down his left cheek. Day. Attain stands at a cliff's edge atop a mountainous slope littered with boulders the colour of coal. Before her is a sheer drop. She stands clutching her spear with regal poise, surveying the snow-dappled mountain range beyond. There are deliberate white flecks in her jet-black hair, and she has painted striations down her left cheek. She turns her head on hearing a noise. Quintus wakes with a start and looks around. Wrapped in a blanket, he shivers as snowflakes dance around him on the cold wind. He cranes his neck and blinks. Bothos, Thax, and Leonidas are huddled close for warmth as they sleep, their faces screwed up in discomfort. Quintus stands up, pulling the blanket around him. His face is a deathly white.
These men are the best I've ever seen.
He trudges away from them through the snow.
Am I worthy enough to lead them?
He comes to a stop and surveys the landscape, the wind whipping through his hair, his stubbly beard flecked with snow. He shivers. The snow lies more sparingly on the mountains ahead.
My father taught me that in life, duty and honor matter above all things. A man without his word is no better than a beast.
He turns his head and looks back at his men.
I made a promise to a general to get his soldiers home. That is my task. That is my duty.
He walks on. The Picts look out from the clifftop, then file across the barren, cinder-grey wasteland. A great white pelmet of snow clings to the sheer cliff face. Quintus and his men race down a grassy hillside. He stops, slapping each of them on the back as they pass him. Quintus pauses to stare back up the hill, then turns and continues. Etain stands over footprints in the snow. She looks up from them, and nods. Clad in a coat of fur, she climbs astride her horse. Aeron throws her a spear, and they move out. A stag ambles down a steep incline. Boyish Leonidas watches intently, as do Bothos and Macross. Leo twirls his slingshot and fells the stag with a deftly aimed rock. Brick glances over at Leo.
Not bad for a Greek. Come on.
The men briskly crest a grassy mound and squat by the injured beast. Quintus slits its throat and hands Tarak the knife. Leo and Macross watch as Tarak carves the animal's belly open. Quintus fills a cup with the stag's blood and offers it to Brick.
Drink. Blood's hot.
The men share the blood. Tarak holds a fleshy sack.
What is that?
The stomach. The moss inside is half digested.
He takes a fistful of moss from inside it.
Try it. It's good.
Bothos crams some moss into his mouth and gags. Leo, Brick and Macross do the same. A group of Picts rides up. Atain stares at the stag with its intestines hanging out. She looks around keenly. Quintus and his men run off up a hill. The Picts ride through a forest. The Romans tramp up a hillside next to a waterfall. As the Picts ride on, the Romans climb higher up a mountain. The Picts weave their way between tall pine trees. As the Romans climb higher into the mountains, the Picts ride through the forest lowlands in the distance. Quintus leads his men through trees beside a lake. Tarak stumbles and falls, his leg broken. The others restrain him.
Quintus, they'd have heard him from Marzen.
Quintus looks up.
What's wrong?
Aeron shoots an arrow into a tree.
Move!
They run off with Brick and Quintus supporting Tarak. The Picts follow.
This way! Move!
Come on, let's go!
Come on, get up!
The Romans clamber up an almost sheer bank of grass, dragging Tarak as they go.
Come on!
The Picts ride through the forest. The Picts reach the bottom of the grass bank and dismount. Atain looks up at the Romans. She and the others advance up the slope. The Picts run up the slope energetically. Further up, the Romans are struggling. The Romans creep to the edge of a rocky precipice with a huge drop down to a river.
Shit.
We have to jump.
Grab your mind.
Do it!
Come on!
Fuck it.
Thax runs to the edge and jumps. Macross jumps.
Yes, you can!
Leonidas looks terrified. Rick jumps.
You can do it!
Bothos shoves Leonidas and they both jump. Aeron and a Pick shoot arrows into Tarak's back.
No! Tarak!
Tarak falls. The other men are swept along in rapids. Quintus turns to see Atain. She hurls an axe. Quintus dodges the axe and it hits a tree. He jumps. Atain and the others stand on the edge of the precipice and watch Quintus and his men as they're swept along the river. The men flail about in the rapids. Brick clambers out of the water onto some rocks, slipping all over the place. Leonidas floats down, and Brick offers his hand. Bothos joins them.
Okay! Come on up! Got him!
Quintus floats down and clambers onto the rocks.
Where's Tarak?
I lost him.
Thanks. Macross.
Bothos shakes his head. Vax and Macross flounder in shallows further downstream. They struggle to their feet and scramble over to the rocky riverbank, where they lie down.
Thank God the tunic's not wet!
As they take off their leather tunics, Thax turns and looks at the river. Tarak's body floats by with arrows sticking out of it. Thax sees a grey wolf on the opposite bank.
Oh, shit. Can you walk?
Yeah.
Then you can run.
Thax grabs his dagger and runs off with Macross. The wolf watches them. Twilight. Lying down by trees, Quintus and Brick watch the Picts ride along a ridge.
They followed us downstream.
That's it. Keep going.
As the others ride on, Atain's white horse doubles back. Atain looks across at where Quintus and Brick are.
Shit. She's onto us.
Damn witch, how can she do that?
It's not magic, she's a tracker. She's downwind of us.
Quintus and Brick move away from the light. Atain stares across the valley. Quintus and Brick join Bothos at their camp.
What's happening?
They're making camp across the valley.
They don't care if we know where they are.
Yeah, but you won't expect us. Bothos, watch over Leo.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Going to even the odds.
What? Having rubbed dark earth over his face, Quintus runs off with Brick. Bothos crouches over Leonidas, who lies shaking. Quintus and Brick walk across the river. A small fire burns at the Pict camp. Brick runs up to a guard and slits his throat. A Pict sits up by the fire, and Quintus slams his sword into his face.
Quintus! Shot!
Another Pict attacks. Quintus stabs him and shoves him against a tree. Quintus barks, "Where is she? Why are you hunting us?" The Pict replies, "One of your men killed the king's son. Gorlakon has sworn vengeance on all your heads."
"Kill him and be done with it,"
the Pict says. "Your friends across the river are already dead." At the camp, Leonidas sits up. Atain hurls a spear into his gaping mouth. Quintus hears the screams. Aeron shoots Bothos with an arrow and the general knocks him to the ground. The general shouts, "Let him bleed." Atain pulls her spear from Leonidas's mouth. Quintus and Brick head across the river back to the camp. Mist wafts through the trees. The Picts have gone. Brick and Quintus return and look down at Leonidas.
They took his fucking head.
They go to Bothos, who lies clutching his bloody leg.
Bothos, they had the same idea as you.
They're not defending their lives or their country anymore.
Brick pushes the broken arrow through Bothos' leg.
They've sworn a blood vengeance against us. And they won't rest until we beg them for death.
Are you ready to get on your knees and beg?
I'm finished. It's hopeless.
Hopeless? Hopeless is what they sing songs about, write poems about.
Hopeless is the stuff of legend, Bothos. And being a legend will get you laid.
What do I have to do?
Keep moving.
Well, we still have darkness on our side. Gods have forsaken us. We make our own chances now.
With Bothos slung between them, Quintus and Brick walk off. Day. Rivers meander along a wide valley floor. Trees are dotted around the stony ground. Sheer mountains rise up on either side. Macross and Thax sprint across scrubland. Macross races ahead. Thax grimaces as he tries to keep up. A pack of wolves follow the two men at a steady pace. Thax glances back as he runs. valley floor is a blanket of rutted dry earth and rusty orange gorse bushes. Macross and Thax keep running as the wolves close in. Macross strides ahead. Thax stumbles and falls.
Macross!
Thax lies on his back. The wolves prowl nearby. Macross grabs his sword.
I can't keep up!
As Macross helps Thax up, Thax slashes his leg with a dagger.
Macross, at least this way, one of us will make.
Bastard!
Don't cry. Don't cry, Macross. They'll end it quicker. If you don't cry out,
don't leave me! Thax! Thax!
Thax runs away across the scrubland. Macross tries to stand as the wolves close in, but his leg gives way and he falls to the ground. He points his sword at the advancing wolves.
Come on!
The others stand in a clearing. There's an animal skull in a tree, and a dead bird hangs upside down.
We should give this place a wide berth.
We need food. And a place to rest.
Sloping shafts of light cut down through the forest canopy as Quintus, Brick, and Bothos descend a slight incline towards a small hut. Bothos hobbles along with an arm around Brick's shoulder for support. Brick draws his sword, and Bothos sits down on a rock. An axe rests at an angle, with its blade driven into a tree stump. Quintus and Brick continue cautiously towards the dwelling. Quintus scans his surroundings as he nears the entrance, then sweeps aside a flap of animal hide hanging like a curtain over the doorway. There's a fire burning inside. Patches of sunlight seep in through the woven branches of the walls beneath the low thatched roof. Brick and Bothos enter. Bothos sits down.
Where the hell are we now?
Quintus looks wary.
I'll get some water. Stay alert.
Yeah.
A young blonde woman goes to enter as Quintus steps out. She turns to run but trips. Quintus reassures her. It's okay, it's okay. We don't want to hurt you. Who are you? She asks. What do you want here?
Brick, go back inside. Go back inside now!
I'll leave the two of them.
Brick turns and ducks back inside. I have nothing of value, says the woman. We're not thieves, we're soldiers, says Quintus. We need food and shelter, and we have an injured man. He needs help. We're just trying to get home. The woman looks scared.
Sure.
She recoils as he draws his sword. He stabs its blade into the earth and takes his hands from it. Here, take it. I mean you no harm. Quintus stands. My name is Quintus Dias. He offers a hand. She takes it and he helps her to her feet. She dusts herself down.
Ariane.
Ariane.
You speak my language.
And you mine. Ariane pauses, then steps past him and picks up her bucket. She glances at him and starts away from the hut. Quintus pulls his sword from the earth and follows her to a river, where she dunks and fills her bucket.
Are you from the garrison? I thought you stopped coming up this far north.
Garrison? What garrison?
2 days south of here.
They come here?
How do you think I know your language? I do what I can to discourage them. I think I'm a necromancer. And they leave me alone.
She shrugs.
It usually works on the others. Why not ye?
We're too tired to be afraid. We were 3,000, now we are 3.
He extends a hand, but she hurries away, carrying the heavy bucket by herself. They return to the hut.
Quick, put the fucking knife down. Bothus, there's a Roman garrison 2 days from here. It must be the western frontier post at Nantieth.
2 days.
Ariane kneels by Bothos.
Let's take a look at your friend.
She starts to undo the bindings around his bloody leg. Bothos grimaces in pain and pushes her hands away. She rises and nips off.
Quintus, what are you doing?
She's a Pict and a woman. Two good reasons not to trust her.
Ariane returns with a piece of clean white cloth. She applies a poultice to his wound and puts the cloth over it. She then lifts the cloth to apply a potion from a small bottle. She presses the cloth down against the wound.
Right, that'll stop the bleeding.
She gets to her feet and walks away. Bothos lolls his head back with a sigh. Smoke rises from the chimney of the conical hut. Inside, Ariane adds mushrooms to a pot of water boiling over the fire. Brick and Bothos are seated at a table nearby, watching. A candle flickers between them. Brick turns to Bothos.
Deathcaps.
Bothos glances over at her, then shifts nervously in his seat. Quintus enters, removing his sword and scabbard. He puts them down and starts past Ariane towards the table.
Smells good.
He sits down with Brick and Bothos.
Well, how's your leg? Has our witch worked her magic?
Quintus, the mushrooms.
What?
She's trying to poison us.
Why heal your leg? I need to kill you.
Deathcaps have white gills. Pleased to know your mushrooms.
Amused, she serves them up into bowls with a ladle. Quintus tries a mouthful. Brick stares suspiciously at his portion.
Good.
Bothos tries his.
It's really good.
Quintus eats ravenously. Brick picks up his wooden bowl and reluctantly spoons the food into his mouth. Bothos looks at him for a response.
It's delicious.
It's good.
Brick and Bothos are asleep. She joins Quintus by the fire. He hands her a cup and she gazes at him.
Your men are very nervous.
They ought to be. A demon stalks us day and night.
A demon?
They call her Etain. You know her?
If Etain is hunting you, you might as well be dead already.
That's comforting.
Her soul is an empty vessel. Only Roman blood can fill it.
The forest at night. It is vast and dark. An image of Etain, her face painted, wakes Quintus from his slumber. He sits up. Brick is beside him.
Where's Ariane?
She went to fetch us some breakfast.
Quintus glances towards the doorway.
You okay?
Quintus gets up and walks away from the bed, where Bothos rouses and nods to Brick. Outside, Quintus meanders over to the river. He hitches up his tunic and starts to pee. He opens his mouth in a long, wide yawn. He's unaware that Ariane is down in the river, a little to his left. She glances up at him.
Is that for bait?
He moves behind a tree.
Where I come from, it's considered rude to interrupt a man mid-flow.
Where I come from, it's considered only fair to warn a man when he's pressing on his breakfast.
She catches a fish in her hands.
Good point.
She tosses the fish onto the riverbank. Quintus sits on a tree stump and watches her. Looking around, she stands.
Must have been a storm in the hills last night.
Quintus turns his head.
Come on!
He loops up, grabs Ariane by the hand and runs to the hut. Horses are in the river.
Trouble! Let's get out of here. With us. Too late for that.
Etain leads the Picts to the hut.
Hide in the greenstone. Don't make a sound.
She hurries out of the cottage to confront Etain. The three Romans exchange anxious looks. The general beside Etain addresses Ariane.
Amu.
Witch, we are tracking Roman dogs. She replies, I've seen no one. As Etain strides towards the cottage, Ariane continues, then look if you must. Just don't leave your stench in my home. It's all I have. Etain glares at Ariane and, brushing the skins aside, steps into the hut. She sees no one. Ariane follows her inside. Etain, blue stripes painted on her face, stomps over floorboards. The Romans beneath the floor in the grain store see her through cracks. Ariane spots a bloody bandage. With Etain looking the other way, Ariane picks up the bandage and tucks it into her sleeve. As Etain's attention is drawn to the floor, Ariane speaks. What's the matter, Etain? Cat got your tongue? Etain snarls and lunges at her. Outside, she pulls out her knife.
Etain, look there!
The general, Atane, no. Her death is a curse on our people. Ariane, on her knees, glances up at the scowling Atane, who sheathes her blade and strides back to her horse. Once mounted, she takes her spear from Aeron next to her. In the grain store, the Romans listen. With a final glare at Ariane, Etain leads the Picts away. Still kneeling, Ariane bows her head. Quintus scrambles out of the grain store and rushes outside to Ariane. He crouches by her. He holds her shoulders, then gently touches her hair.
We put you in too much danger. We'll leave.
Leave now, and she'll have you gutted and skinned before nightfall. Stay until morning, and your friend will be fit to travel.
These are your people.
They are not my people. Not since Gorlokon accused me of witchery and gave me this.
A scar.
To mark me as an outcast. And banish me to live out my days here, alone.
The scar runs down her left cheek and has been hidden by her long, fair tresses.
What cruel devices does fate yet have in store for us?
Quintus whittles a piece of wood as he thinks.
To find sanctuary in the house of our enemy.
Ariane sorts herbs.
Is she angel? Or devil?
Quintus turns as Brick enters.
Clear.
All right. Get some rest.
Bothos grimaces and shifts his position on the bed. Brick sits by Ariane and stares into the fire.
I'm a cantankerous old soldier. But not too stubborn to admit when I'm wrong. I'm sorry I misjudged you.
Ariane watches him closely.
There it is.
He nods and rises. She smiles as he walks over to the bed, disturbing Bothos. Brick lies down, and Bothos again changes position. Outside, Quintus stands by a tree. Ariane brings him his fur.
It's getting cold.
Thank you.
Their eyes meet.
You've given us the shelter of your home, warmth of your fire. And risked your life for us. Why?
I owe allegiance to no man but whom I choose.
They gaze at each other. Then she lowers her eyes. He reaches out and tenderly touches her face as she glances back up at him. Morning. The three Romans are outside the hut. Ariane appears carrying a bag.
Here's some food for the journey.
Thank you.
Good luck, Roman.
Quintus slips the bag strap over his shoulder and nods.
Good luck, witch.
She smiles a little as he turns away from her and joins his companions. She watches him through watery eyes. Brick nods to her and the three men walk away. She turns back to the hut as they break into a trot. Inside, she sees the piece of wood Quintus was whittling. He has carved the wood into the shape of a small horse. She touches the wooden horse, then stares away into the distance, her face sad. Brick leads the way up a hill. As they reach the top, Quintus stops and looks back the way they came. He then runs to rejoin the others. Etain and the Picts gallop through the forest. Quintus leads the trio as they continue running. He and Brick keep glancing back at the labouring Bothos, who falls.
Get up, man! My leg!
Look! Look! See, the fire's burning. Look, hot food and a dry bed. Come on.
Quintus pointed to a Roman frontier fort in the distance. A gate topples and they stand outside the fort. They walk in. It's deserted. They stand by a cart filled with brushwood and gaze around them. Quintus sees a note pinned to a beam. He crosses to it and reads.
Agricola has fallen back. Emperor Hadrian has given orders to form a new defensive line to the south.
Giving up the ground we fought for.
And where does that leave us?
Fucked.
Hearing the horn, they run up the wooden steps leading to the ramparts and look out over its wooden walls.
How does he do that?
They see Atain and the Picts.
I don't know about you,
but I'm tired of running.
Bothos and Brick look down. Quintus leaps from the palisade onto a barrel and then to the ground. Bothos struggles down the steps and limps across to a quiver full of arrows. Brick and Quintus heave the cart to the open gate. They then push it onto its side. Bothos has also found a spear.
This is all I can find.
Make them count. For Virilis.
For the ninth.
Brick, armed with the spear, and Bothos with the bow and arrows, hurry to the ramparts. Quintus strides over to the walls and picks up an oil lamp. He pours the oil onto the brushwood and trails the oil to a burning flame, igniting the brushwood. Behind the cart, he draws his sword. Brick is set high above the gate, spear in hand. Bothos on a lower rampart has an arrow ready on the bow. The Picts approach the gates, Atain and the general on their white horses leading the way. They stop short of the fort. Atain raises her trident spear and a Pict to her left rides forward. Brick readies the spear. As another rider charges, Bothos looses an arrow. One Pict is felled by the arrow, another by Brick's spear.
Bothos, they're flanking us! West wall!
Bothos moves to the west wall. A horse bearing a rider wielding an axe leaps the flaming cart. The rider swings at Quintus, who ducks and weaves and backs away. He gets in close and pulls the rider from the horse. Quintus plunges his sword into the man. The general climbs the palisade. Bothos limps across the ramparts as the general, armed with an axe, clambers over behind him. Bothos unsheathes his sword. Pressed back against the palisade, Bothos punches and headbutts the general. Another Pict slashes out at Brick. Brick's back is to Aeron, who raises her bow and arrow. Brick turns, the arrow sticking in his back, grimaces and bears down on Aeron. They fight. Bothos and the general continue their hand-to-hand battle. The general punches Bothos as another Pict leaps from his horse. As the general looms over Bothos, Quintus grabs a bow and arrow, drops down on one knee and takes aim. The newly arrived Pict leaps toward Quintus. Quintus's arrow hits the general in the leg. Quintus turns and fends off the Pict. Three simultaneous battles are taking place, two on the ramparts, one on the ground. Aeron kicks Brick. He pushes her back against the palisade, removes the arrow from his back, and stabs it in her eye. He grinds it in, then tosses her over the top of the palisade. Atain rides up. While Quintus disposes of the Pict on the ground, Atain picks up a spear and hurls it at Brick. The spear skewers Brick, who's grabbed from behind. Atain's horse leaps the cart and circles Quintus. Atain jumps from her horse and rushes at Quintus. She attacks with axe and dagger. They slug it out around the rampart supports. Quintus smashes her head into a support, then she grabs his wrist and flings him to the ground. On the rampart, the general smacks the sword from Bothos's hand, and it lands beside the fighting Atain and Quintus. The general is pinned back on the palisade by Bothos, but gets the handle of the axe up to Bothos's throat. Bothos backward headbutts the general, then bites his hand. He turns to see Brick force the spear through his own torso into his opponent's stomach. Both men fall. Rick sinks to his knees, then keels over the edge of the rampart into the courtyard. The general headbutts Bothos, and the two remaining Romans fight for their lives. Atain scrabbles on the ground for the sword. Quintus hauls her back. The general throws Bothos down into the courtyard. Atain gets to her feet and picks up her own dagger and stands behind the kneeling Bothos. He grabs her dagger hand and headbutts her. He rolls away, picks up a spear, and impales the general on the rampart with it. Quintus uses his own sword to strike Atain. Blood pours down the spear onto Bothos, and he slithers down the palisade to the ground. Quintus sets down Atain's body. He removes the blade from Atain's stomach, and his face, covered in blood, stares glassily ahead. Quintus crouches by Brick's body and closes the dead man's eyes. He stands up beside Bothos. They both stare down at Brick, the spear still through his body, then move away. Night. The moon glimmers through trees as the pair sit by a campfire.
How much further, do you think?
Don't know. Day's ride, maybe two.
Hearing a noise, they look round, then pick up their swords. They get to their feet. Bothos stays by the fire, and Quintus rushes away. Bothos doesn't hear Thax walk up behind him, sword raised. Neither does Thax hear Quintus behind him.
It's close enough, Thax.
I thought you were pegged.
They all sit.
We thought you were dead.
Thax opens his bag and eats.
Oh.
Where's Macross?
Thax throws his arms wide and shakes his head.
Wolves got him.
Bothos looks down. Thax continues eating, then glances from Bothos to Quintus.
Is this it? Or were you all that's left?
His eyes continue to rove between the two other men.
Hey, at least the three of us made it then, eh?
We're not home yet.
What are you talking about? It's a bit of the frontier by now.
No. Agricola's been given his marching orders.
So Rome's finally given up on this shithole of the country then. Can't say that, I'm sorry.
Then we fought for nothing.
Quintus glares at Thax and Bothos raises his head. Quintus looks away. Quintus, Thax and Bothos trudge up a steep wooded hill towards two captured horses. Bothos mounts up and canters off a little way before turning his horse to look back. Quintus mounts up and looks down at Thax.
What happened with the boy, Thax?
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Thax pulls himself up onto the horse. Quintus frowns and pulls at the reins. They gallop off with Thax riding Pillion. Silhouetted against the dim sky riven by clouds, the two horses gallop across an open landscape. An unfinished wall of stone and timber wends its way as far as the eye can see across the hills and vales. The men ride uphill past a crooked tree with gnarled branches. Bothos smiles as he brings his horse to a stop, and the men look out at the wall on the not-too-distant horizon.
This is Hadrian's big fucking plan.
A wall?
Hey, who cares? We made it, huh? Let's go!
Bothos, wait!
He's gone.
Slow down, Centurion.
Thax draws his sword.
Thax, what are you doing?
Just making sure that we understand each other.
I understand that many good men die because of what you did. And you will answer for it.
Oh, why did I just know you were going to feel that way?
The horse rears up, throwing its riders to the ground. Thax and Quintus land with a thud and scramble to their feet. Thax swings at Quintus with his blade, then wrestles him to the ground. Quintus struggles to hold Thax's knife at arm's length, then topples Thax and pins him down with an arm held firmly across his throat. They continue to grapple. Bothos waves a fist in the air as he approaches Hadrian's wall. Two Roman guards spot Bothos from a wooden platform on the wall. Quintus has his arm clamped tightly around Thax's neck. He chokes Thax, then calls out.
Bothos!
One of the guards takes aim with a bow and arrow as Quintus scrambles to his feet. Bothos hoots in celebration. Quintus races after him. As Bothos nears the wall, the guard looses an arrow and it plunges into Bothos' chest. Quintus falls to his knees and screams. Bothos falls from his horse. Quintus stares with his mouth agape. He rises to his feet and starts slowly up the hill towards his fallen friend. The arrow juts from Bothos' chest as he lies there motionless with his eyes closed. Quintus casts off his tattered picked furs and strides over to Bothos. He drops to his knees and looks down at Bothos as a fog shifts across the landscape behind him. He rests a hand on his dead friend's chest and turns his eyes to the guards on the wall. Quintus drapes Bothos over the saddle of his horse and takes hold of the reins. He leads the horse towards an entrance in the wall. Quintus stands inside a tent with Agricola and his council.
This report confirms our worst fears. You fought your war, soldier, and earned the gratitude of Rome. This man will show you to my private quarters. He will see you fed. You look half-starved.
His expression grim, Quintus turns away and leaves the tent. Drusilla stands by Agricola's side.
He cannot return to Rome in disgrace. Better that the fate of the Legion remain a mystery than the truth of their failure be known.
If word gets out, every tribe and every nation will rise against us.
It's too great a risk.
Are we agreed, then? The fate of the Ninth Legion will be struck from the record.
Aye.
Bearded old Agricola looks at slender Drusilla with her harsh features, dark eyes and strangely narrow mouth. She turns away without expression. Snowy-haired Agricola picks up a small figurine from his battle table and studies it pensively. Quintus eats alone at a candlelit table. Drusilla enters with a tin cup.
I hope the food is to your liking.
He's been served meat and fruit.
I brought you some wine.
She fills the cup from a jug and hands it to him.
"'Tis the least we can do for a hero of Rome."
Drusilla signals to some guards. They pounce on Quintus, but he fells two of them with ease. A third drives a blade into Quintus's thigh. He roars and stabs the guard in the neck, then rolls backwards over the table. Quintus chops a guard's legs from under him and buries his sword in the man's chest, then leaps over the table, grabs Drusilla by the throat, and pins her to a wooden pillar.
"'Is this how Rome honors our heroes? You want to bury the truth? And me along with it."
"You are too much of a risk."
He relinquishes his grip and stumbles back on his injured leg. Leaning on the table, he picks up his sword in its scabbard.
"Where will you go?"
"Where I belong."
He knocks her to the floor with the back of his hand and marches out of the room. A brilliant sun bursts through a magnificent bank of snowy white clouds as they shift slowly above a jagged tree line. Beautiful blonde Ariane kneels by the river with one hand in the water and her head cocked in thought. She turns to see Quintus slumped on his horse. He slides off the saddle and falls.
"No!"
She runs to him and kneels by his side, cradling his head in her hands as a flurry of snow falls around them. He smiles up at her.
"Seems my life is in your hands again, witch."
Ariane kisses him tenderly on the lips.
"My name is Quintus Stius. I'm a fugitive of Rome. And this is neither the beginning nor the end of my story."
ITFC audio description was voiced by Sam Clark. Cast in order of appearance: Centurion Quintus Stius, Michael Fassbender. Commander Gratus, Andreas Wisniewski. Vortex, Dave Legeno. Aaron, Axel Carolin. General Titus Virilus, Dominic West. Arm wrestling opponent, Defa Lavadine. Fax, JJ Field. Septus, Lee Ross. Bothos, David Morrissey. Carlisle Messenger, Simon Chadwick. Gorlakon, Ulrich Thompson. Gorlakon's son, Ryan Atkinson. Governor Agricola, Paul Freeman. Attain, Olga Kirilenko. Roman Officer Argos, Jake Maskell. Archivier, Eon Macken. Picked Hunter, Dermot Keeney. Brick, Liam Cunningham. Macross, Noel Clark. Leonidas, Dimitri Leonidas. Tarak, Riz Ahmed. Ariane, Imogen Poots. Roman Guard, Dylan Brown. Drusilla, Rachel Sterling. General Antoninus, Michael Carter. General Tessio, Tom Mannion. General Cassius, Peter Guinness. Associate Producers, Dermot McKeown, Ivana McKinnon. First Assistant Director, Phil Booth. Production Manager, Cass Marks. Post-Production Supervisor, Polly Duval. Supervising Art Director, Jason Knox-Johnston. Sound Recordist, John Hayes. Sound Design and Sound Supervisor, Matt Collinge. Sound Supervisor, Danny Sheehan. Music produced by Gol McLaughlin. Music Production Coordinator, Eliza Kustow. Additional Music, Felix Erskine. Music Editor, Christoph Bauschinger. Conducted by Andrew Brown. Performed by the London Metropolitan Orchestra. Recorded at Abbey Road Studios and North Pole Studios. Orchestrations by Jessica Danheiser. Vocals, Celia Graham. Baron, Mike Taylor. Celtic Harp, Gillian Tingley. The filmmakers would like to thank Sarah King, Karen MacDonald, the Forestry Commission England, Bucks Country Parks. Director's personal thanks to Peter and Fern Marshall for all the support and history lessons. Axel for being a rock in the storm. Carl Graulich, a.k.a. Hansomus Romanus, Fleur Costello, Ingrid Wheel. Walter Hill and Xenophon for all the inspiration. Filmed on location in Scotland and England, and at Shepperton and Pinewood Studios, England. This film is based on a 2,000-year-old legend. The characters and events portrayed in the film have been fictionalised for dramatic purposes. Any resemblance between the characters and actual living individuals is coincidental, not intended, and should not be inferred. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United Kingdom and other countries. Unauthorised duplication, distribution or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Made with the support of the National Lottery through the UK Film Council's Development Fund and the UK Film Council's Premier Fund. UK Film Council, lottery funded. A Celador Films production for Pathé Productions. Copyright Pathé Productions Limited and UK Film Council 2009. International sales, Pathé Pictures International. Distributed by Pathé. Celador Films, a Celador Films production.